Muhammad Ali in 1974, 7 years after losing his boxing license and his title, knocked out George Foreman, the Rumble in the Jungle, y'all remember that? He knocked him out to regain his belt. Then in the top five, this one's more in my generation, Michael Jordan, in 1995, after he quit baseball, that's still unimaginable to me that he left basketball at the height of his career. He goes to play baseball, quits baseball in 1995, comes back to basketball, and wins 3 more championships in a row. That's a pretty great comeback. According to Sports Illustrated magazine, the number one greatest comeback of all time is Jesus. Even Sports Illustrated is into Easter. The writer in Sports Illustrated said, and I quote, "He defies the critics and stunned the Romans with his resurrection." That's Jesus. One reason why Easter is my favorite day of the year is because Easter is about a fresh start. And I'm someone just like you who understands the value of a fresh start. I'll never forget in elementary school, our teacher, Mrs. Tupper, said that if we talked too much or acted up in class, then our name would be written on the blackboard. Y'all remember those days when that was the worst thing you had to fear, was your name being written on the blackboard? She said if we talked too much or we acted up, she would write our name on the blackboard. And then if we had 2 checks next to our name, that meant an automatic, dreaded parent-teacher conference. And the big deal about the parent-teacher conference wasn't so much the parent-teacher conference. It was what happened after you got home after the parent-teacher conference. Now see, in my house, we didn't have to wait for 2 checks. Just getting your name written on the board meant that when I got home that afternoon, my hind end was going to be introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. My dad was going to obey Scripture and lay hands on me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'll never forget that day as I'm finishing telling the newest knock-knock joke that I had learned to my best friend sitting next to me in school. And we're laughing and ha-haing, and I look up and I see my teacher, I see Mrs. Tupper finishing to write the D on Richard up there on the blackboard, and a knot develops in my stomach, and I knew instantly, it's going to be a bad day when I get home. I knew what that meant. You know, we all know what it's like to go through life and get our name written on the blackboard, not of school, but of life. We know what it's like to get some checks to be put next to our name that lets us know that we've made a mistake, we've messed up. As we mature and we struggle and make mistakes, we fail in a variety of different ways. It starts in school, but it doesn't end there. As we mature and we go through high school and college, and we continue to mess up and continue to make mistakes, and we continue to get our name written on the blackboard with more and more checks next to them that let us know we've made big mistakes. We've messed up. And then as we go on and we get into our careers and jobs and we start into the workforce and we start to earn money and we have responsibilities and bills to pay and we keep messing up, we keep failing in real ways, we keep making mistakes, and everything at our job lets us know our name is written on the board with checks next to it, and we mess up. And it doesn't take long as you become an adult that you no longer see failures and mistakes, but when you look in the mirror, you see, I am a failure. I can't do anything right. I didn't do school right, didn't do jobs right. And then you get relationships. You date, you get married, you divorce, you get married, you divorce. You go through a cycle of relationships. And even our relationships, even our spouses, even our children, even our friendships let us know that we don't do anything right, that we can't manage and do well and succeed in our relationships. Everything around us tells us that we're a mess up. Our finances, our decisions, small decisions, big decisions, everything says that we have made mistakes and mess up. And it's as if every day of our life, our name is getting written on the blackboard all over again with more and more checks next to them. And the consequences of these are not parent-teacher conferences, but real losses, real pains, real grief and shame. All of those kind of things that we try hard to avoid in life. So what do? We move on. We try our best to put on a good face. We try our best to smile and put on a happy front that act that everything is okay, but all the while pretending that it didn't happen. Acting as though those things aren't there, those mistakes didn't happen, and we really wish there was a way that we could undo the pain and the mistakes of yesterday. We wish there was an easy button that we could push that makes all of it go away. We wish there was a pill we could swallow. We wish there's a book we could read. We wish there is something we could do to erase our name off the blackboard. We wish there's something that we could do to make all of it disappear. But common sense tells us we can't. Common sense tells us we've messed up. And we are a mess up. We failed and we're a failure. Common sense tells us it's too late. What happened has happened. Common sense says there's nothing that can change it now. Your name has been written on the blackboard with multiple checks next to it, and you can't possibly erase it. Common sense says the pain and the shame and the hurt are yours, and you need to embrace it. This is your reality. This is who you are. This is who you've been. This is who you always will be. There's nothing you can do to change it. Just learn to live with the pain. But what if we can erase it? What if we can undo it? What if that's what Easter is all about? What if that's what the message of Easter really is? Is that it's not too late for a fresh start. What if that's what the empty tomb is all about? That no matter how dead something may be, it can live again. What if that's what the message of Easter truly is? That no matter how long you have been in that place that you're in right now, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you to have a fresh start. I believe that is the central theme of Easter Sunday, that no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what has happened to you, no matter what you have done, it's not too late for you. Where does all this come from? Well, you have to go to the first Easter Sunday. The first Easter Sunday didn't look anything like what we know Easter to be. Jesus has been killed. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, who we celebrate his birth at Christmas, Jesus has been killed. He volunteered himself to die for you. He volunteered himself for his blood to be shed, poured out for your sins and mine, to be covered, washed away, so that we could stand pure and spotless before God. Now, why in the world would someone that has been perfect and sinless, why would they volunteer to die for somebody else? There's only one reason. Friend, he didn't have to do it. Jesus chose to do it because he has an unimaginable love for you. A love that you can't earn. A love that you can't be good enough to get, a love that you could never possibly deserve, and a love that you can't unearn. You can't be good enough to get it, and you can't be bad enough to unearn it. It is a love that he has for you that is never going away. We pledge love to one another. You have probably had people that told you they love you and then stab you in the back. You've probably had people that love you, vow and pledge their love to you, and then bring pain and hurt to you. You have probably had people that even pledge and vow their love before a crowd of witnesses and God himself, and pledge they'll love you till death, and then be unfaithful to that love. You've probably had people that tell you they love you just because they want something from you. That's not the love that Jesus has for you. Jesus has a love for you that is beyond our human comprehension. He has a love for you that it's not because you did something to cause him to love you. He loves you not because of who you will be. He loves you as you are right now. He loves you. And he volunteered out of that love to die for you and I. On the first Easter Sunday morning, some friends of Jesus get ready to go make their way to visit his grave. Just as we do with our loved ones, we go and visit their grave and we share stories and it helps us heal and we mourn together. They're making their way to visit his tomb. There was not the conventional sights and sounds of Easter on that morning. There were no Easter bunnies. There were no children that were hunting hidden, decorated Easter eggs. There were no happy people wearing pastels and Sunday best. There were no chocolate, imagine that, on Easter, no Cadbury bunny eggs, no cream-filled nasty eggs. If you're going to eat chocolate, eat real chocolate. There was none of that. What you would see and what you would hear were people not wearing brightly colored Easter clothes, but people that were wearing drab, dark clothes that you would wear to a funeral. You would not hear the sounds of laughter, you would hear the sounds of crying and sorrow, because their best friend, the greatest person they'd ever known, has died. Jesus, God's Son, sinless, spotless, perfect. Jesus that opened blinded eyes. Jesus that opened deaf ears. Jesus that made the lame to walk. Jesus that talked to people no one ever wanted to talk to. Jesus that connected to people no one ever connected with. Jesus that multiplied fish and bread so that everyone in a crowd of 30,000 people had more than enough food to eat. Jesus who calmed storms. Jesus who raised the dead. Jesus who walked on water. Jesus, their best friend, the most kind, loving, generous-spirited person they've ever known. He's been murdered. And they're making their way to his grave to reminisce, to cry, and to remember happy times. They put their hopes and their dreams in him, and they're brokenhearted. And Matthew 28, verse number 1 says, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that display of authority. Just sat down on the stone. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of this angel that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Here's the message of Easter. He is not here. He has what? Risen. Just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. You know, that as these ladies get up that morning to go visit Jesus' tomb, it's just a normal day. They had no way of knowing that on this day, everything was going to change. They had no way of knowing, as they're preparing themselves, they're getting the spices, they're getting everything ready to go visit the tomb. They had no way of knowing that on this day, in just a few moments, everything is going to change. That's how God is. His goodness, his kindness, and his power all work together that intersects at the routine of our life, and everything changes in a moment. You know, sometimes when we're in the midst of the challenges of life and we're going through great difficulty, we have no idea. We just can't conceive that in a moment everything can change. We just can't imagine that in one moment everything can change. Why is that? It's because we have been wading through the hurt and the hopelessness for so long that we just can't imagine that life could be different. We've been wading through the hurt and the hopelessness in our home, in our marriage for so long, we can't imagine what a different life would be like. We've been waiting through the hurt and the pain and the misery with our children and our parents for so long, we can't imagine that life could be any different. We have been dealing with torment and agony in our finances for so long, we can't imagine that life could be any different. And we just continue going through the motions. We get numb to hope. We've lost hope that life could possibly be any different. But I want you to know, just like what happened with the women that went to visit Jesus' tomb on the first Easter Sunday morning, and just like Duran and Laura and Keith and Vanessa, that in a moment everything changed. That is exactly what God can do and wants to do for you today. That in one moment, everything that you think can't change can change and will change because He loves you that much. Several years ago, I was preaching an outdoor youth service in Indiana. The stage I was preaching from was the back of a flatbed truck. As I finished preaching that night, there was a young lady about 18 to 19 years of age that came forward, and I prayed with her to receive Christ. As I was praying with her, she said, "Preacher, will you pray with me for my mom?" She said, "I ran away from home a few years ago, and I said some things to my mom that I now regret. I did some things to my mom that broke her heart, and it breaks my heart now. And I want you to pray with me for my mom that sometime she can forgive me, and I just want to go back home." And I had never done this before, but I just felt impressed in my heart to bring this young lady to climb the steps up onto the back of this truck and stand there with me and have all of the people in the crowd that night to pray with me for her and her mom. And as I brought this young lady up onto that truck and I shared her story and I said, "Let's pray right now." I heard a woman sitting on the very back row. She shrieked out and began to run toward the front, and she hollered out, "That's my baby. That's my baby." This girl had no idea that her mom was sitting on the back row. The mom had no idea that her daughter was sitting toward the front. Mom just felt impressed in her heart, "I need to go to this crazy outdoor youth service tonight." And the girl came because a friend of hers invited her, and she was just trying to get the friend off of her back. Neither one of them, as they woke up that morning, had any clue that everything was about to change in a moment. Friend, that's how good God is. That's how mighty God is. That everything in your life, in your family, in your future, in your eternity can change and be different in a moment. It's not too late for you. Preacher, you don't know. You just don't know what's happened. You don't know how bad it is. You don't know how bad I've messed up. You don't know how deep into the mess I am. You don't know how much pain has come into my life. You don't know how much pain I've caused others. You weren't there when I was molested. You weren't there when I hurt that person. You weren't there. You don't know what kind of man I've been, what kind of woman I've been. You know what? You're right. I don't know. I don't know the specifics. But I know if you're like most of us, you've had some things happen that have hurt you. You've had some things that have hurt you deeply, profoundly. You may have even had some things happen that have changed you, that have changed you to become the kind of man you never thought you would be, the kind of woman you never thought you would be. You're more calloused. You're more hard-hearted. You're more distrusting. You're more bitter. You lack the joy that you always wanted to have, perhaps you used to have. Some things have happened. I know there are things that carry overwhelming evidence against you ever being forgiven and restored. I know that the things in your life scream out to you that you could never have the family that you want to have. You could never have the marriage you want to have. You can never have the life that you want to have because of what has happened, because your name is written in stone on the blackboard and there's too many check marks there. I know it feels like it's too late for you. It feels like it's too late for a fresh start in your marriage. It feels like it's too late for a fresh start with your kids. It feels like it's too late for you to beat the addiction that feels like it's beat you. I know it feels like you can't possibly have peace with God and lay your head down at night knowing that if you were to step into eternity, that it would be well with you and God. I know it feels like it's too late for you, but friend, let me remind you, today is Easter, and Easter is God's declaration that no matter how dead it is, no matter how dark it is, and no matter what it feels like, it's never too late for you. Jesus died. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy, secret follower of Jesus. And Scripture says that he asked for the body of Jesus so he could bury him in his family's private grave. And they took the body of our Lord gently down from the cruel cross, placed him and wrapped him in grave clothes, covered in 100 pounds of spices. They take him literally just around the corner to Joseph's garden. They put him in that cold, empty tomb. They roll a humongous boulder in front of the door. They put the Roman seal over the door. They placed 16 soldiers in front of the door. When they put Jesus in that tomb, he was dead. Not in a coma, he was dead. As my papa would spell it, D-E-D, dead. No blood flow, no brain activity, no breath in his lungs, no life. He was dead. The final act that Jesus did before he died is he prayed this prayer in Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, Daddy God, this is it. This is the most important moment in history right here. God, I'm about to die. I'm about to be literally dead. And I am putting my life into your hands. I am going to be helpless, Father, to fix this. I'm going to be helpless to change this. I am depending and I am trusting on you, Father, to give life back to me. I'm depending and I am trusting on you to fix this. I'm depending and I'm trusting on you to turn this around and bring life back to me. It's all in your hands, God, if I live again. I am powerless to change this. And I'm talking to some of us this morning that's exactly where you're at right now. You're facing some stuff in your life that you say, I'm powerless, I'm helpless, I can't fix this. You've got an addiction that you're helpless to beat. You've got some situations in your family that you can't fix and you can't turn around. You've got some situations in your life that you can't possibly fix it yourself. And if you're helpless, Jesus knows what that's like. If you can't fix it yourself, Jesus has been there. If you say, I've tried and there's nothing I can do to heal this in my heart, in my life, I'm powerless to fix this, Jesus has been there. Jesus knows what it's like to be in a place in your life that you so desperately wish was different, but there's nothing that you don't have the ability to change it. But here's the good news for the helpless. Romans 8:11 says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to you. You know what that means? That the same Holy Spirit that invaded the cold, empty tomb of Jesus will invade your life and give life to you. I don't know what things have you feeling like you are in a tomb and you are dead and you can't possibly live. I don't know what things have weighed you down and have tried to identify you as a failure and as a mistake. I don't know what things are screaming to you that it's too late for you, but I do know that the same Holy Spirit that invaded Jesus' grave and brought him back to life is speaking to you in this room right now and telling you, as long as there's breath in your lungs, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you to be the man that you want to be. It's not too late for you to be the husband you want to be. It's not too late for you to be the father you want to be. It's not too late for you to be the woman you want to be. It's not too late for you to be the wife and the mother you want to be. It's not too late for you to fulfill the dreams God's put in your heart. It's not too late for you to rise above everything that's knocked you down. It's not too late for you to change your eternal destiny. It's not too late for you. I will declare that with every ounce of strength in my body to somebody today to know that it's not too late for you. I'm not talking about someday, friend. I'm not talking about on your deathbed. I'm not talking about when you get it all figured out. I'm not talking about when you fix yourself. I'm not talking about when you get cleaned up, when you get ready. I'm not talking about later on when you feel like you've been good enough or you deserve it or you earned it. I'm talking about right now in the good, the bad, the ugly of your life, right where you sit with exactly everything that's going on. In this moment, God can give you a fresh start, wipe the slate clean, and declare it ain't over yet, right now. I know I'm talking to some people who have believed in the resurrection for all of your life. You were raised in Sunday school. You were raised in VBS. You grew up around praying mothers and grandmothers that sat you on their knee and told you Bible stories. And somewhere you nodded your head and said, "That's right, I believe that. Jesus died, the tomb is empty," and you have given mental assent. You've believed intellectually in the resurrection, yet you still live in a tomb of regret and pain and disappointment. God doesn't want you to just believe in the resurrection. He's inviting you today to experience the resurrection. What if today was your personal Easter Sunday? What if today was your personal resurrection Sunday? What if today was the day, just as Keith Justice said, the day the old you dies and the new you comes to life? What if today is the day that you say right there at that moment, I was changed? At that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, everything changed. This could be the day and the moment for you that you get a fresh start. This could be the day and the moment for you that your name and all of the check marks next to it are wiped away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and your name is written down no longer on the blackboard of mistakes, but it's written down in the book of life that you now are forgiven and restored and are a child of God. This is your day for your fresh start. Here's good news, friend. Easter's for everyone. Easter is for everybody. The joy and the power and the redemption of Easter is for everybody. Not the nice, not the pretty, not the well-off, not the religious, not the good, not the goody-two-shoes, not those that have always colored inside the lines. The Easter, the power of Easter, the joy of Easter is for everybody. The mean, the nasty, the hateful, the irreligious, the non-churchgoer, the blasphemer, the murderer. Easter is for everybody. Pastor, how do I get a fresh start? How do I get my name erased? How do I do this? I've tried and tried myself, and it just don't work. Here's what we do. We do exactly what Jesus did, and we surrender our life into God's hands. We say, God, I put my life in your hands. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you for life. I'm trusting you to give joy back to me. I'm putting my life in your hands. Lord, I need your fresh start. God, I need you to wipe the slate clean. Erase all the check marks next to my name. It doesn't mean I'm never going to mess up. It doesn't mean I'm never going to make a mistake. It doesn't mean I'm never going to have a bad day. It means I'm just putting my life in your hands and I'm trusting you. It means instead of trying to fix it all myself, I trust you to fix it. Here's the joy of it, friend. Everyone who asks for a fresh start receives one. Everyone who with sincerity says, God, I believe it's not too late for me, and I need a fresh start. Everyone receives one. It's level ground at the foot of the cross. No one is greater than or less than. No one is better than anybody else. It is level ground at the foot of the cross. And everyone who asks for a fresh start receives one. Jesus never turns anyone away. Never. Not even you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net.